Well, again, it's a privilege to be here with you. Thank you. And for those of you that were not here early today, you missed a real treat. I'm very impressed with this group that's going on tour, I understand. Super. I hope that the first concert will be us here before you leave for your tour. Also pleased today to welcome friends of mine, Wayne and Karen Larson. And for some of you that have been here for a number of years, Wayne and Karen were the pastors here when they were very, very, very young, just beginning. And they've come back to visit, and some of you know them, and others of you can meet them. It's been my privilege to be a friend of Wayne's for, I'm not going to say how long, but it's been really, really great. And I want to thank all of you for your warm welcome to me, to Elizabeth, your kindness to us, and giving me the opportunity to share with you about Jesus. I really believe that in the evangelical section of the church of which we're a part, that there's a danger of us losing Jesus, which I know sounds very strange, because Jesus, as the writer of the Hebrews says, is the author, the foundation, the beginning, the end of our faith. It's all about Jesus. We're named after him, Christ ones. And I think it's a possibility that in the culture wars and the politics and the theological debates that we actually lose Jesus. And we have a tendency to put, I think, Jesus in a box, and we hold him in this box. And Jesus is just too large. He's just too great for us to keep him in our box. And so these mornings, Sunday mornings, you've privileged me to come and to share with you about Jesus. I'd like to invite you to join with me in prayer, asking God to bless us. Shall we rise together and pray together? Let us pray together. Almighty Father, now as we hear your word, fill us with your spirit. Soften our hearts that we may delight in your presence. Sharpen our minds that we may discern your truth. Shape our wills that we may desire your ways. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Let us just take a moment to ask God to speak to us and to prepare us to hear his spirit. Amen. You may be seated. When the traitor meets the party man. Another one of Luke's stories about Jesus. Hey, Matthew, I hear that you're holding a party tonight. Tell me about it. Well, you're right. I am holding a party tonight. And did you receive it? Well, come on over to the house. So, you're having a bunch of people? Yes, I am, as a matter of fact, having a bunch of people. And I have a big announcement to make. I'd love to have you come. And by the way, Jesus is going to be there, and I'd like to introduce him to you. And so, the party took place with Matthew and all his friends. And it was an absolutely great time. It was a raucous party. There was lots of kibitzing back and forth. The food was there. The drink was there. And then partway through this time of celebration with Matthew and all his friends, he stands up. Can I have your attention, please? Attention? Yes. I'd like to make an announcement. It was Matthew. Hey, what's the announcement you're making, Matthew? I want to announce that I've decided to believe and to follow Jesus. He's called me to be one of his disciples. Dead silence in the room. Absolute, total silence. When you use the term stunned silence, it applied in that situation. Finally, someone said, "You're what?" And Matthew said, I've decided to be a follower of Jesus. Other people say, this is a big change. You sure? And Matthew replies, yes, by all means. This is it. It's time for a change in my life. Someone says, well, talk about a change. And so the party went on. And then Matthew says, I'd like to introduce Jesus to you. I'd like you to all listen to him. And so Jesus sits there and he starts to talk. And he starts to talk about the kingdom of God. He says, the kingdom of God is like a pearl. The kingdom of God is like a rock. The kingdom of God is like a person that had lots of money. The kingdom of God is like a poor person. The kingdom of God is like a farmer. And the stories go on. And then the questions start coming from the people that were sitting there. Well, I'm becoming unhitched here. It's the sort of thing with these all these kinds of microphones and everything that, you know, you can dress them up, but you can't take them out. Well, that's the deal with me. Well, let's see what we can do here. What happens if I put this just down here? Oh, great. They didn't have the trouble at the party with microphones and all that kind of thing at all. I mean, they just talked and shouted and so they could be heard. And so the questions went on. Now, it's really important to understand who Matthew is to understand the party that Jesus was attending. The Roman tax system is very different than our tax system today. As bad as Ottawa might be, and I understand that I'm in central Alberta, so I want to say that. As bad as Ottawa might be, we have a good compared to the Roman tax system. Now Matthew, remember Jesus came, and he stopped at Matthew's toll booth. And Capernaum, where Matthew was on the road of the great highway that went from the north in Damascus, Syria, all the way down through Israel, all the way down to Egypt in the south. And it was the major highway for trade. And so Matthew had his toll booth there, and he was collecting money from people that were taking their merchandise back and forth on this road to sell. Now, in the Roman tax system, it wasn't like there was an assigned amount based on your salary or money or holdings or whatever it is from Ottawa or coming from Rome. It was a system that was set up that Rome needed X amount of dollars. So they, if I can use the term, farmed that out to different people who would make a bid and say, from my area, I will supply you with this amount of money. And then those people underneath them would either be hired by them or would make a bid and say, from my area, I will give so much money. Now, the ruler of Galilee under the Romans was one Herod Antipas. King Herod, he was known as. But in reality, he worked for the Romans. And in reality, he was subject to the Romans. And so Matthew either was hired by Herod and his agents, or he himself said that he would collect the tolls in this area and he would give this much money. In either case, any money that he could collect over and above the amount of money that he had to pay the people over him was his to keep. So when you went by his toll booth and he looked at your goods and he said, what have you got there? And you showed him and he said, well, I want $50 for that. And you said, that's highway robbery. I'm not going to pay you $50. Forget it. The problem was, you were probably right, but there was a Roman soldier standing beside him. You pay the $50 or you are arrested. And who knows what is going to happen to you. So Matthew and all his friends were known as robbers. They were extortionists. They were absolutely hated. And you, as good townspeople, and you, as good foreign people, wanted to have absolutely nothing to do with them. And so when Jesus came by his toll booth and said to him, Matthew, I want you to be one of my disciples. I mean, the first response that you're going to make is that, hey, Jesus, this is a bad choice. You don't want this guy to be one of your disciples. But Jesus was very deliberate. And all the people at the party were the same kind of people. Very simply, they were people that you don't want to spend your time with. And that you're going to tell your sons and daughters, whatever you do, don't get mixed up with them. Disreputable. And so, after a while, at the party, as all the questions went on, hey, how does your kingdom, Jesus, work with the Romans? Hey, Jesus, is your kingdom the same as the prophets in the Old Testament used to speak about? What's this I hear about your kingdom, Jesus, being where you love and you forgive everybody? I mean, not surely. Surely there's some limits on that. Not the Romans. And so the Pharisees and some of the religious leaders that were sitting there started to grumble to Jesus' citizens, to Jesus' disciples, and say to them, why does your master, why are you eating with these kinds of people? You say, well, how did they get there? Well, the party is open. The party is not closed. I mean, the doors weren't shut. You could come in, and other people could come in, and they could visit, and they could see what was going on. And so these religious leaders had come, people who wanted to check out, what is this kingdom movement that Jesus is leading? And so they were there, so they started to grumble like that. And Jesus hears that they're grumbling. And when they ask the question, why do you eat with such scum, Jesus answers. Read with me, will you? Jesus' reply there that begins with healthy people. Let's read it together, shall we? Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. Were you reading it with me? Right. You were all reading it with me. Out loud, I meant. Ready? Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come not to call those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent. So it's Jesus saying, he's a doctor. And if you're a good doctor, you have to spend time with the people that need you. Good doctors don't sit in their laboratory. Good doctors have patients. They either go to see the patients or the patients come to see them. They examine them. They listen to their stories. They look at them. They diagnose and they prescribe what's done. And Jesus said, I'm the very same way. He said, These people that you don't like, they are spiritually sick, and they know that they need to change their ways. And I, if I'm going to be their doctor, need to be with them. And that's the reason we call Jesus the great physician. He is the great physician, because he doesn't sit afar off. He's with the people, and today he's with us by his Spirit. And so Jesus sets the stage then for the fact that he is always going to be found in someone's house. And this is just the first of a whole series of dinner parties and celebrations and visiting with people that Jesus, you find him throughout the Gospel of Luke in different people's homes. And so it goes on. As a matter of fact, there's a discussion later on about John the Baptizer. And in that discussion, Jesus says, John the Baptist didn't spend his time eating bread and drinking wine, but you said, oh, he's possessed by a demon. He's an ascetic. Dismiss him, he says. He's speaking to the religious leaders. Now, the Son of Man, on the other hand, and he's referring to himself, and the title Son of Man comes from Daniel chapter 7. You can look it up in your Bibles. And he's appropriated that for himself. And he says, the Son of Man, what does he do? He's the exact opposite for John. He feasts and drinks, and you say, he's a glutton, he's a drunkard, He's a party goer. He's a friend of tax collectors and all kinds of sinners that we don't want to have anything to do with. I think it's very safe to say Jesus was not a sourpuss in any way. People loved to be with Jesus. People loved to invite him to their house. People loved to spend time with Jesus. He was friendly. He was outgoing. He was accepting. He was kind. He attracted people. Matter of fact, on another occasion, you can read about it in Luke chapter 15, when Jesus was again criticized for eating and spending time with all the wrong kind of people, Jesus said, well, let me tell you why I'm doing this. I'm doing this because, you see, this is what's happening in heaven. And then he tells three stories. A story about a shepherd whose sheep wanders off, leaves them, and goes to find the one sheep. A woman who loses a coin or a bracelet, her dowry, hunts for it, finally finds it. And a son who's lost, wanders off, away from the family, shames the family, blows the inheritance, and finally comes home and is found. And in all three cases, Jesus says, what did they do? They had a big party. Big party. Hey, I found my sheep. Come on, let's celebrate. Hey, I found my bracelet. My son's home. Come on, everybody, come on. Kill the fatted calf. And they have a party. And Jesus said, listen, if they're celebrating in heaven every time someone repents, everyone says, I'm coming home to you, God. Every single time that a person decides to follow me and believe in me, if there's a party going on in heaven, then we have to celebrate down here as well. Every time someone comes to follow me, every time someone turns to God. It's an incredible picture. Just think about that, would you? When you, if you have decided to follow Jesus and to believe in him, when you made that decision, they held a party in heaven for you. And Jesus says, all the angels got in on the party. They all joined in. Now, I don't know what heaven is like. I'll be really honest with you. I know that there's been lots of ads on TV over the years, you know, for Philadelphia cream cheese, and they're sitting around enjoying it in heaven. And some people paint heaven as a pretty dour place. I mean, some people point, you know, they're singing all the time. Now that's great for the people here that can sing. By the way, you guys did a great job. But there's a few of us. Is there anybody else like here, like me? Absolute, total, complete non-musician. Am I the only one here? That there are a couple. God bless you. Thank you so much. I appreciate that. You can all give me your money afterwards, okay? Thank you for raising your hands. Stand around singing all the time in heaven. I got sore knees, and this doesn't sound appealing. No, it's a place where people are celebrating people coming to the Lord. And it's so predominant throughout the book of Luke that N.T. Wright, the famous New Testament scholar, says, it's actually one of the marks of the kingdom. That's right. When you read through the Gospel of Luke, you find that there's four predominant marks to the kingdom of God. Jesus is speaking about the kingdom of God all the time. What are they? First of all, there's forgiveness. It's the kingdom of forgiveness. When you come to the Lord, he forgives you. It doesn't matter who you are, how smart, how dumb. Doesn't matter how much money you have, how much money you don't have. There's forgiveness for you. Two, when you read through Luke's gospel, Jesus is always healing people. That's right. He's healing people physically. He's healing people mentally. He's healing people emotionally. He's healing people spiritually. He even heals people economically. Jesus heals people. He's the great physician. Three, Jesus casts out demons. Now, I don't understand that to a great extent. We'll talk about it next week when the wild man meets Jesus. But heals people spiritually of evil in them, casting out of demons. And the fourth mark is the fact that Jesus is always having dinner with people. Jesus is always spending time with them in table fellowship. Why was this so important to Jesus? Why was this party at Matthew's house not an aberration? Why wasn't it a once-off? Why does it happen over and over and over and over again? Why was it a mark of Jesus' kingdom ministry? Because when you sit at table with somebody, you share their food, you're accepting them, you're befriending them, you're sharing your life with them. You're welcoming them into your life. You say, we get to know each other. We appreciate them. I have an entirely different view of that person now that I have spent time with them. And he begins in Luke by going to Matthew's party. So let's conclude. We have to ask ourselves, what shall we do? What shall I do? Let's not just pass this off as a party that Jesus happened to be invited to. No, no. It's a mark of his kingdom. It's to be a mark of his people. You and I need to become a person, and we need to become a community of joy, acceptance, and celebration. As individuals, we need to become known as people of joy. My name is Alan Ross McFedrin. I come from a long list of Scotsmen from Inverary, northwest of Glasgow. And you've all seen pictures, and you might have even had the privilege of meeting some very, very dour Scotsmen. That's not who Jesus wants us to be. Some of you are sitting here saying, well, thank God he doesn't want me to be a Scotsman either. I understand that. My wife has put it a different way to me. You men will understand this. I hate to even mention things like this. If you've been married for a period of time and the woman in your life comes out with these truths every once in a while that, but you go away thinking she's right, but you know, you don't want to admit it. And maybe I'm the only one here, and I'm not going to embarrass any of you men to say that you're in the same place as I am. So she says to me at this time, as we're standing in the kitchen, of course, she says to me, Alan. And whenever it's Alan, you listen. She says, Alan, you know, when you're an angry young man, you accomplish a lot. Angry young men take on projects. They take on people that nobody else is willing to. You do a lot of good as an angry young man. But remember this, nobody likes a grumpy old man. And I walk away grumpily. She's right. And unfortunately, too many of us as Christians, as followers of Jesus, become known as grumpy people. But Jesus wants us to be joyous people. He was. People liked to be with him. He accepted them. He welcomed them. They didn't have to be his kind of person. And we need to become that kind of a community as well. You're wonderful people. But you want to become known in Ponoka as this group of people that accept others, that a group of people that are joyful, a group of people that people are welcome to be a part of, where someone says, you know, I don't know if I believe anything, but it's fun to be with those people. They're accepting. They've got something in their life. I don't know if I like this Jesus stuff, but I like to be there. That attracting people just by who we are, the joy of Jesus in us. And so that's the first thing. There's something else. I'd like you to consider something this week. I'd like you to consider inviting friends, people that you know, to a Matthew party. Hold a Matthew party. Invite them to your house for dinner. Now, just don't invite your church friends. No. No, that's not a Matthew party. These were all disreputable people at the Matthew's house. They were his friends, but they were outcasts in society. Now, you invite people that you don't even know if they believe in God. Maybe some acquaintances through business or in your community or neighboring farm or whatever it is. And you pray about it and you just invite them over for dinner or coffee. And you invite them to come. And then you start the conversation. You've had a great conversation, but you turn it a little bit. You don't have to stand up and make an announcement that you are a Jesus follower. But you could ask some questions. And I've put several questions up here on the screen. You could ask the question, what was your highlight this past week? People like to talk about that. In the last few weeks, what about disappointments in your life? Anything gone wrong? Or, I was reading Jesus' command that we're to love our enemies. Do you think that's important? And just get people talking about it. People like to do that. They can say whatever they want. It doesn't matter. But you're starting to turn people's thoughts. Where do you think we should get our values from today? Where should we get our values from? Well, you say my house maybe isn't the best place to invite. No, go to a coffee shop. Listen, I'm told there are 6,000 people that live here or around here. I don't know, but anyways. As I drive in here every week, I tell you, there must be enough coffee shops here to hold all 6,000 people. I don't know if any of them serve any good coffee or tea. It doesn't really matter. But invite a couple of friends to have coffee with you at the local Tim Hortons. No, I wasn't paid to advertise. At any of them. And just sit down and get to know people and ask a question and let people talk. A Matthew party. I do that all the time with people in a local coffee shop. It's amazing how friends of mine, I had the advantage of working with first responders, both medics and fire, for a number of years, and I have lots of friends in that community. In our fire department, there was 50, and of the 50, no one went to church. Yeah, maybe a couple at Christmas time, but nobody else did for a funeral. Medics, same thing, nobody went to church. Most people didn't even believe in God. But we could talk about these things, and we could talk about faith and what it is to follow Jesus Christ and to just simply hold a Matthew coffee, a Matthew tea, a Matthew party, a Matthew dinner, just to follow his example and just invite Jesus before you go to be present with those people. May the Lord bless you this week. May he pour his spirit upon you. May he give you his love in Jesus Christ. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.